Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Listen, if the messages of 2026 have told me anything, and I really hope that they have told you the same thing, it's that God's not playing around as the return of his son, of our Savior, comes closer. The Unwavering series, and I'm blanking on what the series was before, but that was good too. So it was good. I can't remember the name of it, but it was good. And if it has told me anything, is he's very serious about getting our hearts right. He's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for a people that are after his heart. And Hope City, we will be a people that is after his heart. I think for a long time, we have okayed things that Jesus has not okayed in the capital C church. And that's what Jesus is after right now. We will be a holy people. And I love how God's timing works out, because we are in the 7 weeks, the season of Lent, what we recognize as the time to reflect and pause and take inventories of our life as we prepare for Easter Sunday. And I love that in the weeks coming up to Easter, God has us in the Holy Week. Right. We are studying the 7 days leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And at the start of the series, Pastor Jason talked about the triumphal entry when Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. And the same crowd that shouted Hosanna on Sunday was going to be shouting Crucify Him later on Friday. Yeah. And then last week, Pastor Shaq talked to us about cleansing the temple and how Jesus confronted what had defiled the house of God. And not only addressing what was happening physically in the temple, but revealing God's desire for healing and restoration in the present. And honestly, I'm just in awe of how God set last week up. If you haven't listened to the message from last week, I would highly encourage you to do so. But both the men of Hope City and the women of Hope City spent that weekend following up to Sunday in getting our identities handled, getting our calling handled. The women were out at a conference. The men were here at men's breakfast with her father, Pastor Ben. And it all set up on Sunday for us to be completely wrecked by what God wanted to do in his people.
Right.
You need to go back and listen to those messages. It is the foundation for what we're talking about today. And we're looking at an event that happened on the Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week. Thank you, Mark, for your timeline. Because technically, I'm going to give Matthew credit for this message, but we're going to be hanging out in Mark, okay? Like, I know we're in the book of Matthew, so thank you so much, Matthew. But Mark and I, we understand each other. Because I appreciate that Mark's version of this story has the whole truth, okay? Matthew, just like, this happened, it was not very significant, and we moved on. And Mark's like, let me tell you the whole thing. And so Mark was written by John Mark, a companion of Peter. He recorded Peter's eyewitness of Jesus' life. In my mind, Peter must have been some sort of a verbal processor, because Mark wrote it all down. Like, he did not miss a detail. And if you know me, if you're in my life at all, you know I'm a verbal processor as well. So me and Peter and Mark, we get each other. Like, I'm also, in my strength finders, I'm a woo, which is like winning others over. So I ask a lot of questions. Some people like it, some people don't. And here we are. Okay, so that's why I'm going to give Matthew the credit, but really we're going to be in Mark. So Matthew 21, 18 through 22 is, thank you so much, Matthew, for your account. But we're looking at Mark 11, 12 through 14, and 20 through 25. I'm reading from the Message series, and it's going to be up on the screen. As they left Bethany the next day, Jesus, he was hungry. And so I want to pause that real quick. So Jesus and his disciples are leaving from Bethany, heading into Jerusalem. And then we get what Pastor Shaq talked about last week, the cleansing of the temple. So we're on Monday, okay? So he was hungry. Off in the distance, he saw a fig tree in full leaf, and he came up to it expecting to find something for breakfast, but he found nothing but fig leaves. It wasn't yet the season for figs. He addressed the tree. No one is going to eat fruit from you again, ever. That's a little drama Jesus. And his disciples overheard him. In the morning, walking along the road, they saw the fig tree shriveled to a dry stick. And Peter, remembering what had happened the previous day, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is shriveled up." Jesus was matter of fact. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, "Go, jump into the lake," no shuffling or hemming and hawing, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. See, and that's the thing. Matthew, first of all, didn't tell us that this is happening over 2 days. Matthew also left out that whole last part. Matthew, what are we doing? So, thank you, Mark, again. I'm going to split up the message in three parts. So first, we're going to look at Jesus seeing the tree and curses it. He exposes the compromise. And then the next day, and the tree is dead, the root issue, and Jesus commanded to command for faith and forgiveness. And this is the answer for producing fruit. So the first part, compromise leaves you fruitless. Mark 11, 12 through 14 says, "As they left Bethany the next day, Jesus was hungry. Off in the distance, he saw a fig tree in full leaf. He came up to it expecting to find something for breakfast, but found nothing but fig leaves, for it wasn't yet season for figs. He addressed the tree, 'No one is going to eat fruit from you again ever.' And his disciples overheard him." And there's a couple misconceptions that you can make about the beginning of the story. I've made them. You might read this and think, Jesus was just hangry. Like, Jesus just needed breakfast. He was walking. Listen, I get hangry. Anyone else get hangry?
Amen.
Yeah, Darren, there's sometimes that Darren's like, "I'm not saying another word to you until you eat some food." Heard. Okay. So, Jesus is hangry and he's being dramatic. Like, what do you mean you're cursing this tree for not having fruit? It wasn't that he was being dramatic. The figs, he knew, everyone knew when the fig harvesting season was. This wasn't like a surprise. It shouldn't have come as a surprise. And so he knew that there wasn't going to be fruit on the tree. And so maybe this makes his response seem extreme, unless, of course, he used it as a lesson. And Jesus cursed the fig tree as a living illustration of the judgment on first century Israel. So because of the context, we know that they were on their way to address the defilement that was happening in the temple. There were people that were using God's temple, the place where he met with his people, the only place that his people could encounter him, and there was defilement happening in. And so this happened on the way to do that. So Jesus was going, this is an illustration of what's going to happen just in a couple of hours. The tree had leaves, which made it look healthy and fruitful from a distance. And when Jesus came closer, there was nothing there. In the same way, the temple and much of Israel's religious life looked impressive on the outside. Full of activity, tradition, the appearance of devotion, but it was missing the genuine spiritual fruit God desired. The leaves were there, but the substance was not. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary said it this way: Jesus' strong denunciation of the tree, which Peter later regarded as a curse, was a dramatic prophetic sign of God's impending judgment on Israel. Not an angry reaction because Jesus was hungry and found no food. The promising but unproductive fig tree symbolized Israel's spiritual barrenness despite divine favor and the impressive outward appearance of their religion. Compromise may preserve the appearance of faith, but it will always destroy the fruit of faith.
Wow.
Compromise in our life may preserve the appearance of faith, but it will always destroy the fruit of faith. And I was reading, God took me back to Genesis. And I was like, Genesis? Why Genesis? Well, if you remember, when sin first entered the world, Adam and Eve took fig leaves. and sewed them together to cover their shame. Genesis 3, 7 through 8 says, At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord alone walking about in the garden. And so they hid from the Lord among the trees. Just as Adam and Eve's covering was inadequate, Jesus judges the fruitless tree, and by extension, the religious establishment, for failing to produce the expected spiritual results. Both used fig leaves to cover what was really happening. What are the fig leaves in your life right now? Maybe you show up to church, but you never let it change your life. You're present on Sunday, and you're unchanging on Monday. Maybe you post faith online, but you rarely live it offline. You got Bible verses in your bio, but compromise in your behavior. Maybe you're busy being in church, but you're disconnected from God. You serve on teams, you show up to events, but you actually don't spend any time in prayer or in the Word throughout the week. You have no intentional time with the Father. Maybe you curate a good Christian image. You look put together spiritually, while quietly and sometimes loudly, you tolerate sin and compromise. That one should hit us. Quietly or loudly, you tolerate sin or compromise. People can see the sin. You call yourself a Christian, but you never actually surrender control. You believe in God, but you still are running life your way. You have zero desire for God to have control of your life.
Yeah, come on.
Leaves are what people see, but fruit is what God's looking for. And the sobering truth of this story is God didn't just pass by the tree. He walked up to it to see if there was fruit.
Yes.
The appearance didn't fool him. He didn't walk by and was like, that is a nice tree. That is a good looking tree. I think it's doing just what it was meant to do. No, he walked up to make sure that it was producing the fruit it was created to produce.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no ambiguity, hiding, or guessing in sovereignty. God sees it, and he calls it for what it is.
Right.
Leaves, acts, facades, they may fool the world, but they don't fool the Lord. And here's the hard part about it is we've been giving all these warnings. God has called us many times up until this point to right living.
Yeah.
We have the whole Old Testament to see how Israel lived. What Israel did with the blessing and the calling that God had on their life. We see that. And Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, wow.
Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast demons out in your name. And we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. The things that we do aren't enough. The words that we say are not enough. God's looking for our heart posture. God's looking for people that produce fruit. The leaves don't fool him. And it's not going to get you into heaven. God deals with the root, not just the leaves.
Yeah.
Mark 11, 20 through 21 says, in the morning, as they were passing by, the disciples saw that the fig tree had withered away from the roots up. And remembering, Peter said to him, Rabbi, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Jesus wasn't just concerned about the outward appearance. He dealt with the problem all the way down to the core of the tree, all the way down to its roots. It wasn't just the fact that it wasn't producing what it was supposed to produce. He didn't make the tree barren, but he just pronounced the judgment on what it had already become. He didn't see fruit on there and was like, fruit die and you will never live again.
Yeah, yeah.
He just pronounced it. He said, what it is what it will stay, and actually it's going to die and wither away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It confirmed the condition it was already living in. A tree without fruit fails to fulfill the purpose it was created for. And because it did not provide nourishment, Jesus pronounced its faith from the root up. Your faith isn't just for you. If others can't experience the blessing of your faith, it is pointless. Galatians 5, 19 through 26. I'm reading this through the Message. And so there's some different words in there. You know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. This phrases it a little bit of a different way, and I love how it phrases it. It's obvious what kind of life develops trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and loop-sided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community, and I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. Hope City, this isn't the first time you've been warned, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard, things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Just the things that we say is helpless in bringing this about. The hypocrisy that we act and live in is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we've chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves to each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original.
Yes. Yeah. Good.
If your roots were exposed today, what would they show?
Wow.
The fruit of the Spirit cannot grow if the roots are rotten. I read a really good quote this week from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the book The Cost of Discipleship that said, when we refuse the cost of discipleship, we raise a generation that loves the cross but will never carry it.
Wow.
This book is from 1937. This isn't just a this generation issue. As part of Gen Z, we have an issue with that. A lot of us love Jesus. It's easy to love Jesus. It's really hard to follow him.
Come on.
That's not just a Gen Z millennial issue. Gen Alpha, I'm believing that we're going to change that for Gen Alpha.
Right, right.
This isn't just a 100-year-old issue. This is something that Jesus was addressing right here in Mark, and we still haven't gotten it right.
Yes.
Where are the people in your life calling you to accountability?
Wow.
The compromise in the capital C church has raised a generation that loves the idea of Jesus but refuses to follow him. And we refuse to have anyone come to us and say, hey, that's not like Jesus.
Wow.
Where are the people in your life that are calling you to accountability? It's really hard to not live like Jesus when you have people right in your face telling you you don't live like Jesus.
Wow.
I have people in my life constantly. If you've heard, I've talked about it for a couple of months now. I'm working through anger. Anger is my first emotion. It's rarely the primary emotion. It's covering up other things that I'm feeling. But I tend to be an angry person. And that's not who God created me to be.
That's right.
And I have people all through my life that call me to accountability in that.
Yeah.
that leaf does not produce fruit. That branch will not ever produce fruit. And actually, it kills off the branches that do produce fruit.
Wow, that's good.
Without people that would call me into accountability, I couldn't do it on my own. Anger couldn't break on its own. And that anger really comes into the last thing, faith that produces fruit. For a long time, I lived in unforgiveness. And that anger could stand because it was a false protector. Because I would never want anyone to hurt me the way that that people had hurt me before. Faith feeds the root. Forgiveness frees the branches. And fruit flows when they're both alive. Mark 11, 22 through 25 says, "The next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed that it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, 'Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died.' Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." The lesson is clear here. Fruit doesn't start by trying harder. It starts with trusting God. Your heart fully surrendered and believing in his power is what produces lasting fruit. And it goes further in verse 25 to say forgiveness is part of fruitfulness. If you hold grudges, if you are bitter or pride, you have pride, it blocks the flow of God's fruit in your life. Yeah. True fruit is relational. It blesses others. Faith coupled with forgiveness makes it possible. I don't want to move past the fact again that we are faced with the weight of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the foundations of Hope City. We have a whole life group dedicated to forgiveness. We did whole weekends dedicated to forgiveness, and yet we still have people that walk around with unforgiveness. We can't just have faith. If we are harboring unforgiveness, we will not be forgiven. I think we need to let that weight set in. If we have unforgiveness towards other people, Father God cannot forgive us. I can't do anything if Father God doesn't forgive me. We will not get into heaven. I do not have his blessing. We live separated if Jesus' forgiveness does not cover me. Alone, I am a sinner who deserves death, who does not deserve forgiveness, and it's a gift that I've been freely given, and yet we hold it as something that needs to be paid back to us. Forgiveness is a free gift that we give freely.
Yes.
Does that make sense? We hold it like someone needs to pay back what was done to us when we ask for Jesus to give us that gift freely. If we are not forgiven, we are living separated from God. And if we're living separated from God, his hand of blessing and provision and wisdom is lifted off of our hearts. We have to forgive Hope City. A tree with leaves but no fruit is useless. Christians that love Jesus with their words but not their life are useless. Do not let your faith be a show. Let God go deep. Trust him, forgive freely, and bear fruit that matters. Friends, the world doesn't need anyone else to tell them how their living is wrong. The world doesn't need anyone else to tell them that how they love others and how they choose to like do all the things in their life is wrong. That's not our job. The only thing that people benefit from us is the fruit that our lives produce. Yep. The hypocrisy of the church has to bow. Much like the hypocrisy in the temple that Jesus had to go and flip tables had to bow. Because how dare you tell someone how to live? How dare you tell someone what they're doing wrong when behind closed doors you're gossiping? When behind closed doors you're addicted to whatever you choose to be addicted to? When behind closed doors you're angry and mean, you're abusive with your words, you're abusive with your fists, how dare you call anyone else to what they're doing is wrong when you refuse to live right? The world doesn't need any more of that. There's plenty of that. What the world needs is the fruit that only a life surrendered can produce. Your life is meant to feed others. It's not meant to just decorate the world. There's plenty of leaves. There's plenty of trees with beautiful leaves. Okay? There's plenty of people that can say all the right things and pretend we got enough of them. And if you're not going to produce fruit, you might as well just go stand over there. Because that's not what God's looking for in this season.
Wow. Come on. That's right.
As the time of his son coming back gets closer and closer, and friend, it's coming close. It's coming. I don't think that we recognize the dire need that people are in, because there's a chance that people could die and go to hell. In an instant. I mean, none of us is guaranteed our next breath. But there's a clock, and when that time runs out, there's no more chances. Yeah. And what the world needs is not our words, but it needs the fruit of a life surrendered. And today, if just like the fig tree, you look good on the outside, but you're empty on the inside. Jesus doesn't just want the leaves. He wants to give you real life, real fruit. And if you've been trying to carry it on your own, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, if you're like, that sounds great, but I haven't even started at step one, I want to give you that chance today. And so with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you have yet to make the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to ask you to raise your hand if you want to do that today. If you're ready to produce fruit, if you're ready to live a life surrendered, and you haven't made that chance, that choice yet. Yeah, okay. Amen and amen. So, that means that everyone here loves Jesus. And I want to invite, if there are people here that have just leaves, there's no fruit, I'm going to give us just 1 minute of time for Holy Spirit to point out things. What are the compromises that you've made in your life that make it look pretty on the outside, but there's no real fruit? What are the leaves of compromises that you've made in your own life? I'm going to give us just 1 minute. Holy Spirit pointed out the leaves of compromise in your own life, and you're ready to surrender those things today, I'm going to invite you to stand with me so we can pray together. I'm standing. I told you that anger in my life has caused fruit to not grow. So I'm standing with you. If there's anyone in here that is choosing that, come on, Jew. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are a good father that points out the areas that we have not yet done the right thing, and that we are so missing the mark. I thank you today for people that are ready to live surrendered, for people that are ready to surrender the things that no longer produce fruit, Lord Jesus, so that we aren't just ornaments, God, but we can bring life change about, God. And so today, right now, I pray that we surrender the things that don't look like you at the foot of the cross, God. Make us a new creation, Lord Jesus. I pray that you prune branches today, God, that we want to be a people that produces fruit for others, that we want to be a people that brings life change about, Lord Jesus, and that can only happen by the fruit of your Spirit, God. So as we surrender today, Lord Jesus, we choose to live a surrendered life. What you say is wrong is wrong. What you say is right. How you want us to walk, we'll walk. Lord Jesus, and I thank you that Hope City will be a church, a place where fruit abounds.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.